Hi, this is Bob Sammartino from Italian Roots in Genealogy, and I'm here today with Jeffrey Anzavino, and we're going to talk a little bit about his family and his research. So, welcome, Jeffrey. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks, Bob. I appreciate the opportunity to discuss with you my Italian roots.
Great, great. So my first question is, when did you get the bug?
The bug came very gradually over many years, and I was inspired by some stories that my grandmother told me when I was a little kid, and I was probably 10, 15 years old when she was in her 70s. So I didn't pay as much attention as I should have, but there are certain things that stuck in my mind. And then after she passed, I started getting things passed down to me, family items that started putting her life and my grandfather's life, who I never knew, kind of in place, like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. And then I realized that her eldest daughter, my Aunt Maddalena, was very sharp and she knew a lot of things. So I started picking her brains. So I would say probably around 25 years ago is when I really started a deep desire to understand the facts as best I could.
So that's quite a long time ago. I guess I started about 15 years ago or something like that. So where is the family from in Italy?
They are from a small municipality. It's called a city. I'm not sure why. Of Pani, Panni, and it is in the Dauni Mountains. I think it's actually called like the Sub Apennines in the province of Foggia, and it's very close to the Molise and Campania border.
Okay, well, that's cool because you're the first person that descends from Foggia that I've spoken with. So that's going to be
Ah.
pretty cool.
Interesting.
And it is because we, as we know, that those of us doing a lot of research, all the regions are vastly different from the
Yes.
people, the dialect, the culture, the food, and everything. So what did you find out from your aunt, as you're going through this? What were the kind of wow type of things that you found out?
There were a lot of things, and they, the wow things. Just seeing life as an immigrant, a 7-year-old girl coming to America through her eyes, and what it was like to help my grandfather and his supply business in Jersey City and Hoboken in the 1920s, and how hard she worked as a little girl and as a teenager to help the family, because she was the second oldest of the bunch, and a lot fell on her shoulders. So that's I think one of the things that really stuck with me is how hard she worked and just trying just understanding her life. And that's what I've been trying to understand the past 25 or so years, is to put myself in my grandmother's shoes, my grandfather's shoes. What was it like to live in Italy in the early 20th century, to be separated? My grandmother's a white widow. My grandfather came here first for a couple of years, 2 years. What it was like for my grandmother on her own with three children, seven, five, and 7, 4, 4 and 2, to be coming here, or 9, 7, and 3 to be coming here. Three babies in her arms, coming by herself. And those are the kinds of things that really make me want to understand more.
And then, same thing here. It's trying to understand, why they came, my mother's family I understood because they were poor. My father's family weren't so much, but my mom's family, they struggled a lot, especially when they came here. And they wound up with my grandparents had left one child there and they had eight here. Not a lot of food in the 20s and 30s. So now you said your grandfather had his own business here. So that's pretty good.
It is pretty good, and we I was always under the impression that they came here for economic reasons, that life was tough in Italy, and I'm sure it was in this small city, which had Pawnee had about 5,000 people there in the 1920s. Now it has about in the 800s. So there have been a lot of emigration from that community. I found out that my grandparents actually owned what I heard is like most of the buildings on one of the streets.
Wow. At the time.
And I was fortunate to get a copy of my great grandfather's will. And it was 11 pages long. So he must have had something to give to his children. So I'm not really sure how that they were destitute. I don't really think they were destitute. I think they had something. Alfonso, my grandfather, came here following his brother Nicola, who had established this shoemaker supply business in Jersey City. So fortunately, and one of the things that really makes me want to do this is that my grandmother has a fair amount of pictures, photographs of my grandfather in a horse-drawn wagon, with presumably his eldest son next to him making his deliveries, a picture of my grandmother and grandfather in the business in Hoboken, a picture of the building. So it really brings things to life. And one of the things that my aunt told me that really made me think was that when she was a young girl, and so, you know, doing the math, she was probably 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, maybe. My grandfather would come home from work, pockets full of cash, and would give, you know, really tired, and he would give my aunt the horse, and she would take the horse out back and put him in the stable in Hoboken. So I'm visualizing him, you know, leading a horse-drawn wagon through the streets of Hoboken, which is very different now, in those eras.
Yeah, and that's interesting. My father's father and his brother had a business in New York City. They did embroidery, bridal crowns and bridal veils and things like that. I guess they started in the 20s or something like that. And I never understood why they came until talking to one of my fourth cousins. And she thinks that we had a common ancestor in that my grandmother, her great-great-grandmother was my grandmother's aunt. And she said she thinks that her great-great-grandfather was in the shoe or wallet business. But anyway, something having to do with leather.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? Maybe your grandfather and he had some kind of mutual agreement as far
maybe
as
he bought leather from your grandfather.
That's very possible.
Yeah, the business was called A. Anzavino Leather and Findings.
Yeah, it would be interesting to know. But the other cool thing about reconnecting with Linda, and it's a long story, but when we met, her grandmother actually had beads from my grandfather's business, and she brought us some. So, you know, these beads were, you know, 80 years old or something like that, you know. So talk about connecting to history and you know, actually holding something in your hand that was your grandfather's from almost 100 years ago was pretty amazing. Now, so did she remember much about Italy? You know, she was what, 7, I think you said, when she left?
Yeah, she remembered, you know, not a lot of details, but she said that my grandmother would put her on her back and take her out to the fields to work and to bring food out to the workers. So these are the things that I'm not sure that I'll ever really find out, but I'm speculating that they actually had fields and people may have worked for them. I went to Pawnee in 2015, and while I was there, the people treated me like a king. They love when people come back to their hometown in Italy. I'm sure it's not just Pawnee. I'm sure it's many places in Italy. And they took me to the land, and they said, this was your grandfather's land.
Wow, that's cool.
So that is the one really recollection that my aunt had about life in Italy, just being taken on my grandmother's back and hearing about washing clothes on rocks in the stream.
that's amazing. You know, I watch some of these old shows, Like we're watching something now that's, supposed to be 200 years ago, and everybody's in these clothes that are beautifully clean and pressed and everything like that. And it's like, how do they do this if they were smashing them on rocks? I'm sure they were clean, but I don't think they were quite as nice as they make it look on TV, and probably a lot harder in reality than they show on television. Now, does she remember the boat ride?
We'll be right back.
Italian Roots and Genealogy is proudly sponsored by Your Dolce Vita and Dawn Matera, connecting people to their purpose in life and continuing their legacy. For more information, contact Dawn at www.yourdolcevita.com.
She remembers being very sick on the boat ride and being separated at Ellis Island and being under a lot of scrutiny and being very afraid.
Oh, wow. So she was separated from her.
Yeah, for a short time. Yeah, they apparently took her some different place and checked her out medically. And this made her feel, apprehensive about the whole thing. But she was reunited and always was good from there. And I say she remembered as she passed away in 2016 at the age of 100. She just made it to 100. In fact, when I went to Italy, it was just on the eve of her 100th birthday. It was about a month before. And I was in my inner house speaking to my cousin, who's the oldest of all the cousins. And I said, Maddalena, well, I'm going back to Italy. I would like to take back something of yours to your home birth place. And told her I'd like to take a lock of her hair. And she just was incredulous. Oh, come on, we can't do that. And my cousin, Marianne, said, I'll be right back. And she went out of the room and came back with a hairbrush. And she cleaned the hair out of the hairbrush. We put it in a Ziploc bag. And I took it back. And the last morning I was there, I walked at dawn, walked down to the house where they lived and left some on the stoop of the hair. And then walked up to Mount Crispiano, which is the hill that overlooks the town, and threw some up to the wind. So I felt it fitting that at her on her 100th birthday, or just before part of her returned to her home.
Oh, that's nice. That's great. Now, did you happen to find any Anzavinos there still?
There are no Anzavinos left. My grandmother's name was Licio, and there are more people related to Licio there. And in fact, well, no one named Anzavino, but a really nice family named Labat. These are my second cousins. So this is Nicola's children. I think there were four daughters, and they were very welcoming to me. I found them all on social media. And if someone's going back to Italy, it makes sense to find a homepage or news page and talk it up that you're going back. If you have any photographs of ancestors from there, put them on, because when people saw photos that I posted, they said, oh, that's my aunt, or that's my great, or this is, and so then everyone was really eager to meet me. So the Anzavinos, no one really by that name. But when I went back, the innkeeper who I stayed with, the Ruccis, Antonio Rucci, said that Anzavino, the Malafauge. And I went, what does that mean? And he said that I guess in many societies, everybody has a nickname. And now I presumably this was my grandfather, perhaps great grandfather. And Malafauge means bad plow. Apparently, when all the men were lined up plowing the fields, my grandfather was lagging behind a little bit, and then they said, "Hey, Anzavino, what's the matter with you?" And he goes, "Ah, it's the plow. It's a bad plow." And they called him Malafauge. And we went around in his car to find people that might know any of my relatives, And we stopped. He stopped next to a car passing by, and this old gentleman rolled the window down. They started yakking it up in Italian. I didn't really understand anything. And then I saw the old man with a gallon of wine, drinking, you know, his wine in the car. And he's going, Anzavino, no, 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 no. And then Antonio went, Malafage. Ah, Malafage. Ah, si, si.
Oh, that's too funny. That's really funny. And I tell everybody that too. Facebook is great. You know, if you go to, you find a hometown page or, you know, in my case with my paternal grandmother, her last name is Piermalo. And it's only that, there's only one family. Everybody's related to them. I found several cousins, and just 2 days ago, we were supposed to go in April last year, and we were supposed to go now in September. Everything was looking good, and now we got to postpone again, hopefully till next May. But we're going to have a lunch with, you know, 20 third and fourth cousins that I never knew existed before I started this research. I had no idea that I had people in Italy, and they had no idea that they had somebody in America. I'm just dying to go back there and meet these people. So now, how far back have you been able to get?
Back into the 1700s, but not knowing a lot about those people except their names. Into the 1800s, through the priest in the Catholic Church there, though, I have been able to get birth and baptismal records and marriage records that has helped me piece things together. But I don't know that much about the folks that beyond my great grandfather. So it's mostly, I'd like to know more, and it's my grandfather who really has me curious, because I never met him. He died in 1945, which was 9 years before I was born. And he lived an interesting life. He had, we always heard he fought in World War I. And then my grandmother gave me a medal that said Italo-Turkish War. Mm. So apparently, you know, this was 1911 and 1912. He fought in the Libyan War, sometimes known as Libyan War. But she also gave us Austria-Hungarian money. So I suspect there was a very terrible battle in World War I along the border of Austria, which I think 300,000 people died. It was a terrible battle in the wintertime. And I suspect he was in that campaign. Otherwise, where would he get this money? And when we got this when we were kids, it was like a $10,000 bill. We thought we were rich, not really. But he was taken prisoner, according to my grandmother. These are some of the things that she told me when I was a little boy that made me, you know, think, oh, cool, but not, I want to know more. Where was he? What was his rank? What were the circumstances? So these are the things now that I would like to better understand if I can find Italian military records.
Some of them are out there. I know somebody just posted on my Facebook page from World War One. I could ask him if he knows where to find these records. He's a pretty good guy. But it's interesting that you mentioned the Libyan War, because my grandfather also fought in the Libyan War, and that's one of the reasons why my mom's parents came to America. My grandmother, you know, World War One had either on the verge or just broken out, and I think my grandmother's brother was in America. And my grandmother didn't want my grandfather leaving for war again.
Yeah.
So they came here, and I think they had the intention of going back, because they left my uncle in Italy, and he didn't come until the 1950s with his whole family. And as far as the Austrian, I don't remember what years, but if I remember correctly, part of Northern Italy was actually part of the Austrian-Hungarian Empire at one point in time. I don't know whether that came with unification or after that, or even after World War I when Italy picked up those pieces. But
the border had changed quite a bit. And my aunt was born while he she was conceived, obviously, while Alfonso was in Pawnee. Then he left while my grandmother was pregnant, and she never saw her father until she was four. And this is something else she told me when the war had ended.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, so that's a long time. And it's, I wonder if he fought, I wonder if he was in, you know, because the Italians, like the Germans and the Austrians, they had those special mountain troops even back then, you know? That would be interesting to find out. So now have you done DNA?
No, I've not done that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What do you think? Yeah, I I've heard some funny things about it. Like they sell your DNA or so. I haven't done it, but I'd like to know more. But I can tell you that in the 60s, my grandmother had a family crest researched, which I have a copy of. And every, you know, you always think you're Italian. And my father told me when I was a little boy, Anzavino means also with wine. It turns out that when we went to Ellis Island, Anzavino means people from the Angevine. And when I have translated now this family crest, it says originally from France in the 1200s.
Yes. Sure, yeah.
So the people came from France first to Venice and then slowly migrated down the peninsula.
Yeah, that's something worth looking into. I mean, but like I said, my grandmother comes from two families, Piermalo and Cracciolo, and Cracciolo has Angevine roots. I trace that family back, my grandmother's great, great, you know, 38 great grandparents back to 950 in Naples.
Wow.
What they say is that they were probably originally from the Byzantine but prior to 950, but that's the earliest that the records in Naples go. But if you send me a little information about that, I could hunt around on some of the nobility websites and see if I could find anything. Mm. But yeah, I did DNA twice. I know a lot of people worry about that. I've never worried about it, and I've never had anything bad happen as far as that goes.
And what do you find out?
A few things. So I'll give you a couple of examples. First of all, both my children are adopted. And we all did the test. And in my daughter's case, she had met her birth parents when she was 18. My son never really was that interested in meeting his birth parents. And we kept asking him, and he said, I don't know. But eventually his sister did a DNA test, and she contacted me, and she asked me, I think I'm Matthew's sister. Wow. I'd like to talk to him. So I said to him, I said, well, your sister wants to meet you. She found it through Ancestry. What do you want to do? And he said he wanted to meet her.
That's great.
A couple other interesting things. I mentioned my cousin Linda. In that case, she hadn't done her DNA yet, but she had an ancestry tree. And she said, I think we're researching the same person, Maria Piermalo. And I said, yeah, we are, and that's my grandmother's aunt. And she said, do you think we're related? And I said, I know we're related. I've done enough research to know that Maria Piermalo is my grandfather, Nicola Piramalo's sister. And she had her doubts, and eventually she did the DNA test, and it came back that we weren't a match on her side. Mm. And I said, well, that's impossible. That can't be. It's impossible. So I said, let me look at mine. And sure enough, she came up as, I think, a third cousin or a fourth cousin. I don't remember. She contacted Ancestry, and they said they made some kind of mistake, and they fixed it. But in any event, once we started talking and comparing notes and all of this stuff, we knew definitely, that we were related. A couple other interesting stories is one of my fraternity brothers from college contacted me, and he said, hey, do you have an MR in your ancestry, your DNA? And I said, Yeah, I said, that's my wife. And he said, well, we're fifth cousins through Sicily.
Wow.
And so, you know, my advice to people that, you know, you have to be prepared to find some strange stuff. I did find one last quick one. Somebody came up as a match and I couldn't figure out where she was. She came up as a second cousin and I didn't know her. I had no idea. And as it turns out, one of my first cousins had an affair. And she was his daughter. She was adopted. She lives in Queens. She was adopted. And my cousin Larry's three children all had done ancestry too.
Hmm.
So they found a half sister that they never knew about. Very nice person. She's a music teacher at Queens College in New York. And when I asked my cousin about it, she said, all I remember is my mom going into the bedroom and crying for like 2 weeks straight. So you have to be prepared.
Yeah.
And my same friend, who had the, whose cousins were my wife, he found his older half brother that he never knew existed. Apparently his father had, you know, and back in, I guess, the late 40s, had a son. And the best that they could piece together is that either they were adopted by somebody in Brooklyn, or you know how things were back then. They just, you know, somebody needed it, wanted it, couldn't have a child. And the girl had a child and gave her the child. So, you know, I haven't had anything bad as far as, you know, somebody getting my DNA or the police knocking at my door or anything like that.
Yeah.
But there are strange things that happen, you know, that you might find out. But I found a ton of cousins that you know, some I knew and you know, some I didn't. So it is kind of,
I think I like it. I like this idea.
And you know, there were a couple of things, you know, for anybody listening who's thinking about it. Everybody does ancestry in America because that's the one to do if you want to find cousins.
Yeah.
If you want to know more about your where you came from as far as your Y and xDNA, you can either do another test with Living DNA or one of the companies that do all three tests. The ancestry doesn't do all three tests. So I did Living DNA and they can trace you back to where your maternal and paternal line come from all the way back to 10,000 years ago.
Wow.
And they give you your haplogroups and all of that kind of stuff. And then one last really cool one, and it's more directional than anything else. And you could just send a copy of your DNA to them, is My True Ancestry. And they match your DNA to archaeological digs going back 5, 6, 7, 8,000 years.
Wow.
So they could tell you, they don't tell you that you're an ancestor of somebody, but they will tell you, for example, your DNA matches an archaeological dig in ancient Greece, or, you know, in the 1500s in Spain, or...
Yeah.
A Tuscan knight or something like that. So that's, it's pretty cool in that sense.
Yeah.
And you may be able to find out if you actually have some of those Angevin roots. So that's another cool thing.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. I, you know, as you could probably tell, I love doing this I'm of the belief that our ancestors want to be found. Otherwise, guys like us wouldn't be making these connections.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
Well, thanks again and have a great day.
Thank you, Bob. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.